good afternoon and welcome to another Thursday edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. It is good to have you along with us. I want to thank our fantastic Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts, and Gus, we're already in week 8 and our Care Sports schedule continues to be full as tomorrow night. We're going to make our second trip of the season to Winchester. We were down there way early in the year, back at their homecoming. We're going to be back for the last regular season of the game as they're going to be hosting Mission Valley. You'll hear that one here on Care Radio tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And then Saturday afternoon, we make a road trip into the heart of Missouri as the Benedictine Ravens continue conference play at Missouri Valley. Now, check your calendar a little bit. This is a odd start. 2 o'clock ball game. So 2 o'clock kickoff, Care Radio pregame at about 1:30 Raven football Saturday afternoon. Wow, tons of stuff to talk about. And last Friday night, Gus, you and I got to see a really good ball game. We went down to Perry, Kansas, and the Phoenix prevailed on the road 34-22 over a scrappy and really good, well-coached Perry LeCompton team.
Yeah, you know, that game was still in doubt in the fourth quarter. Perry LeCompton was starting to march down the field, and then when it was all said and done, Atchison comes away with a 2-touchdown win in that thing and continued to keep this magical season alive. For Atchison, gave up more points than they're kind of used to, and probably didn't score as many points as they're used to. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's the same outcome. They get a W in the win column, and you know, just keep chalking them up this season.
And so, speaking of chalking them up, how about Highland Park? They got to love being in this conference, even though they played out of conference last week, knocking off KC Northeast 63-0. It was Sumner, huge win, 50-6 over Harmon. Washington squeaks by Schlegel and easily the best game in the conference, 22-20. And Wyandotte shut out at Blue Valley Southwest, 48-0. Moving over to NEKL, ACCHS. Guys, let's take a moment, a little tip of the hat to the Tigers, who for the first time in a long time are not only champions of the Northeast Kansas League, but now back-to-back conference champions. So congratulations to Coach Thornburg and the Tigers. They defeated Jackson Heights 18-6.
Yeah, and for ACCHS, you talk about how well they've played this season. And, yeah, I mean, Coach Thornburg has his team responding to what he wants to do. It's a good group of guys. And, again, they're showing up each week, playing hard. Knocked off a really good Jackson Heights team who, you know, just a week ago they were tied with Jackson Heights going into that ball game, both being undefeated in league play. And for ACCHS, it's a good place to be, right? 6-0 league champs and 6-1 overall coming into what for them is a big game this Friday night.
Yep. The only other really close game in the NEKL was McClough at home securing a win over Oskaloosa 30-14. Other than that, there was a pretty one-sided contest like Rossville over Pleasant Ridge 56-0. JCN, the team we're going to be seeing tomorrow night, they defeat Valley Falls 58-14. Sabetha getting 62 points to defeat Horton, and Silver Lake at home with MHMA and for the Eagles a 54-14 win. Again, we've been talking about it all year. The numbers, 63, 50, 48, 54, 62, 58, 56. Offenses are the name of the game these days. Now, that said, coming up, you kind of alluded to it this week, in the Meadowlark, we're going to have a bunch of really good games, and in the NEKL also. But Gus, if we look maybe at what people are going to be concerned with is some of the district action going on around the state of Kansas. Games? Okay, for the NEK. Sorry. No, no problem. Upcoming games here in the Meadowlark, by the way, it'll be Atchison at Wyandotte tomorrow night. Highland Park is going to go to Washington. Sumner crosses the river to Kansas City Northeast. Schlegel's at home with Bonner Springs. And Harmon, How about this? They're crossing the state line. Matter of fact, about a half a block across the state line, and they will be at the Hawklets of Rockhurst.
Yeah, that's not going to end well. And for Harmon, what a tough season, right? I mean, the biggest thing for them, you look back to last week, they were able to score against Sumner, so they're at least going to get a touchdown on the season, but it was just a rough go for the Hawks this
season. Yeah, no question about it. And how about in the NEKL? ACCHS is going to be home, and they're going to try the team that played MHMA last week. They'll have Silver Lake coming to town. Onega, the Buffs at Jackson Heights. We will have, of course, that Mission Valley at JCN game. Horton will travel to, I'm going to call it Wabunsee.
I've heard different interpretations, but
yes, it is not Wabunsee. Wabunsee, Horton at Wabunsee. Rossville is going to be at Guy Galley Field with Morehill Mount Academy. McLouth will go out 24 to play at St. Mary's. It'll be Pleasant Ridge in an interesting out-of-conference matchup at Centralia. And rounding it out, as I stop my little reminder here with that button, how about that? We've got Valley Falls at Oskaloosa. We were just going to briefly touch on some of the district stuff. What do you say?
Yeah, to jump into districts, let's just start where it's less confusing. Let's start at 2A.
Okay.
Because, and the reason I say that is 4A is a little confusing. We'll jump into that. It's kind of its own animal. But if you go into 2A, district number 3.
All right.
That has Silver Lake out on top at 3-0. That has Rossville at 2-1. It has ACCHS at 2-1, Pleasant Ridge at 1-3, Morehill Mount Academy at 0-3. District 3 matches up with District 4. Nemaha Central and Sabetha, they're going to play this week, both of those at 3-0. Minneapolis and Riley County, both at 1-2. And then you've got Horton coming in at 0-4. So you look at the two districts and... Okay, so the two districts, you're going to look at District 3, Morehill Mount Academy has been eliminated. District 4, Horton has been eliminated.
Yeah.
In District 3, we also know that Pleasant Ridge will match up against number 1 in District 4 because Pleasant Ridge has firmed up the 4 seed in that. So for Pleasant Ridge, they're going to get Nemaha Central or Sabetha, depending on who wins that ball game. But then the rest of it's, you know, a little open because you've got Silver Lake at 3-0, Rossville at 2-1, ACCHS at 2-1, so there could still be a little movement
there.
Yeah,
you know, of course, the Ravens are eliminated from playoff contention with that loss way back in week 4. That's the one that eliminated them, that Pleasant Ridge loss.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. Because both Morehill Mount Academy and Horton are eliminated, they'll play each other in week 9?
I think that's probably the likely
combination. I feel like that's how that works.
Yeah. So... Rossville can win that district if they win by at least 2 points and ACCHS beats Silver Lake. Okay, so that's how that would go. And, of course, Silver Lake and Atchison County are both in the playoffs. Silver Lake district champion if they win that game. Atchison County is going to be the district champion if they win and Rossville loses to Marhill. So that's kind of how it shakes out. A little complicated, but not that bad, really. But Tiger fans, you're in, guys. How good is that?
Yeah, jumping back, I guess we could backtrack just a smidge.
Yeah, we could do anything we want to do.
Go to District 1, Classification 1A, District number 3. So in Class 1A, District 3, you've got St. Mary's at 4-0, JCN at 3-1, Mission Valley at 3-1, McLouth at 2-2, Valley Falls and Oskaloosa both at 0-4. McLouth and Valley Falls eliminated.
Yep.
Oskaloosa and Valley Falls eliminated. Then you have McLouth at 2-2. Mission Valley and JCN are really playing for that 2 seed right now.
Okay, St. Mary's is 1, District 3, okay, because they've already beat JCN and Mission Valley. McLouth, 4th place guaranteed because of their shakedown. So the Mission Valley at JCN game, both teams already qualified for the playoffs. The winner of this game is going to be the district runner-up. The loser is going to be the third-place finisher. Simple as that. And, of course, Valley Falls, Oskaloosa, Dragons and Bears are out.
Yep. jump down to what, District 4. You've got Centralia at 4-0. You've got Troy and Riverside both at 2-1. Jackson Heights and Onega both at 0-3 in district play.
Yeah, so Centralia's non-district game with Pleasant Ridge doesn't matter. Riverside and Troy are both in the playoffs. The winner of the game is going to be the runner-up, and the loser is going to be the third-place team. And then for Onega and Jackson Heights, it's essentially a playoff game, right? The winner is going to be the 4 seed out of District 4. The loser is going to be out of the playoff brackets. So it kind of shakes down pretty clearly for all of those teams in that district. And so the only question would be, you know, who the bottom teams are going to be, who would be matching up in week number 9.
You jump up to 4A, and you've got kind of a mess. It's not, but it's a little different than what we're used to, right? So the way that 4A works is they just start matching teams up as far as east side versus west, okay? So the east will play itself all the way through. The west will play itself all the way through. East 1 will play 16, 8 will play 9, 2 would play 15.
Yeah.
Understandable. Mm-hmm. So right now, the number 1 team is the Blue Comets of Chanute.
Yep.
So let me get back there.
I've got them at 7-0 with 91 points.
Yep. And you're going, if you're an Atchison fan, you're saying, all right, can Chanute lose in the last week? Of course, everybody can lose, right? But Chanute's going to be home, and they're going to be playing Labette County, which is, do you know the mascot?
Like Bears or something?
Yeah, there you go, the Grizzlies.
Okay.
Yep, so Chanute is going to be at home with Labette County. Labette County coming into the ballgame 2-5. So you're saying, that's not so good. But they have won 2 of their last 3, beating Fort Scott and Independence and losing to Coffeyville. So, you know, you can hold out a little hope there. For Atchison, I'm going to tell you, they are going to win their next game because they're going to get, you know, a league opponent, and Atchison just doesn't lose to those Metal Arc teams. They're going to be at Kansas City Wyandotte.
Right. So. And so the thing for Atchison is I can narrow it down to like 6 teams they're going to be playing because there are 6 teams at the bottom of the 4A West, all at 1-6. No winless teams, but 1-6 teams would be Mulvane, Winfield, Independence, Ulysses, Augusta, Eldo.
I have no idea where you came up with that list.
Yeah.
You're going to the 4A West.
I'm going to 4A West.
No, we stay on the East.
Oh, they're going to play against the East.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. East plays itself and then the West plays itself.
Then you got Schlegel, Bonner, and Fort Scott. There you go.
So, and Schlegel, a team you're very familiar with. Yep. That's not a bad one. Bonner is a team who, right? Atchison used to play Bonner back
all the time.
In the day. Was that in the Huron?
Yes.
Okay.
The Bonner Springs Braves.
And Fort Scott, excuse me, that feels like a team that they might have played a couple years ago, but I think it'll be tough for Fort Scott to be able to pull themselves out of that bottom spot. They're going to play Coffeyville. Bonner Springs is going to be at Schlegel. That's a big game. Okay. That's a real big game. How about that? Bonner Springs is going to play Schlegel. So you've got 2 of the bottom teams. You've got number 14 playing number 15, which means somebody's got a chance to move up. Then you're starting to look at those 2 loss or those 2 win teams, but yes, Atchison most likely is going to play the loser of Bonner and Schlegel.
Yeah, seems very reasonable.
There you go.
About as simple as that.
You start pulling things apart, you'll figure it out right away. So anyway,
and you go to the 4A West. By the way, Wamego is the cream of the crop. Not only are they 7-0 at 107 points, the next best team's got 54 positive points. So you know, Wamego running away with 4A West.
Yeah, so.
So there you have how the districts are kind of shaping up right now. A lot of teams already in, a few teams still kind of on the bubble, but I think right now you're kind of getting a pretty clear picture of who's in, who's out, what's going on in week 9.
Done this for a couple of years now. Do you still get confused by week 9?
You know, yeah, I don't.
Do you not?
I'm just no fan. I don't know. Never have been. I get it. I understand what they're trying to do, you know, and they're trying to ultimately, what their bottom line is, you want to go to a state championship game that pits an East and a West team. I mean, that's kind of the whole boil down of it.
Yeah, and you also want to go into the playoffs. It gives you a chance to get more teams actually into the playoff, right? Because Nobody asked me, but I think, you know, I like back in the day where you let one team out of each district in, but Holton and Hayden.
And then they went to two because of Holton and Hayden.
Holton and Hayden kind of ruined that. And then they said, well, wait a second. Let's just put all, let's put four teams in and then let the other teams play each other, which I get it. I don't have a problem with it. It just takes me a minute to kind of peel it apart and decipher it.
And by the way, the number one teams in the state of Kansas in the various divisions right now, Manhattan, top team in 6A, and 5A, it's Mays. Bishop Miege dominating in 4A, Andale, of course, in 3A. And 2A, it's southeast of Saline. Centralia, number one, in 1A. And by the way, Leote, an eight-man. Axtell, an eight-man, too. And Cunningham, in six-man. You know where Cunningham's at? Just right west of Kingman. Can't miss it.
There you go.
Just north of 54 Highway, out in the wide-open spaces. Hey, we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Sports Look continues here on Kent Radio right after this. Welcome back to Sports Look as we move from the high school conversations to the college and the Benedictine Ravens, and Gus BC continues to, they just continue to play really well. You've got to be impressed with the Ravens, a 47-0 win last Saturday at home over Central Methodist, and a lot of things that you got to like, certainly a lot of things that I like for Benedictine, and one of them was, for the first time this season, they had a 100-yard rushing player. And I like that.
Yeah, right? I mean, it had been a while since the Ravens had gotten a guy into the triple digits. And
yeah. Rayshon, I mean, did it on only 10 carries, 102 yards.
And I say that, but yet the week before, you had Kettle 2 weeks ago, I guess, because you had the off week. But Kettle at Culver Stockton went over 100 yards. But I don't know if I consider my quarterback running the ball really the same as, you know, a back getting me 100 yards.
Tell you what I saw, what we saw, a lot of guys carrying the ball. As it would seem that Benedictine is still, everybody knows you got to be able to run the ball. If you like to throw the ball, that's all well and good, but there has to be some kind of a balance a little bit at least, you know, of being able to rush the ball, and they continue to use a lot of different guys to run the ball. Dalton Witherspoon was the team's second leading rusher with 38. Jay Sean, you know, with 27, you had Jonah Roberts carrying the ball a little bit. Derek Overstreet carried the ball. Troy T.W. Crozier got a carry in the game. So they're utilizing that depth.
Yeah, you had eight different guys carry the ball on Saturday afternoon. And can I tell you, I feel like the Ravens are still looking for ways to get the ball into Jay Sean's hands, right? And why wouldn't you? He's such a playmaker. But Jay Sean had two receptions for 10 yards.
Yeah.
Then he turned around and carried the ball six times for 27 yards. And honestly, I think that they would like him to be able to carry the ball 5 to 10 times a game because, again, he just is such a threat when the ball is in his hands.
You would just expect he's a 100-yard guy every night out, and instead last week he was like a 30-yard guy.
Yep. You know, playing against Central Methodist, and we kept talking about their defense and how good we thought the defense was, and then at the end of the game you're like, but they gave up 47 points. The Ravens were able to put up 409 yards of total offense. But I think a lot of that was because at some point the defense is going to break down because Central Methodist offense was just, you know, inept, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it just was very lacking. I'm going to go out on my limb here and say it's been a minute since we've seen a college offense that just couldn't produce at all like that. But the one player that I think I was surprised about was they were able to keep Jacob Gathright held to, you know, checked, right? Four catches, 19 yards. Nobody's done that. I mean, you look at 19 yards, Gathright was averaging about 24 yards a catch coming into the ball game, and so they were able to lock him down, keep him out of the end zone. His longest reception the other day was 7. But with that being said, you had a guy that stepped up, and I'll be interested to hear Saturday when you get to talk to Coach Osborne about his thoughts on Austin Buteau, because for Buteau, he hadn't had a reception in the month of October, turns around and leads the team with 5 receptions and 97 yards and a touchdown against Central Methodist. So,
look around the conference. The Thursday game was a runaway. Grandview blowing up Wayne Penn. You knew that
would be. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Benedictine game, 47-0. Other than that, every game was really, really close. You had Peru getting by Clark on the road, 16-9. You had Evangel squeaking past the Raven opponent for coming up for Saturday, Missouri Valley, 21-16. It was Culver Stockton at home with a 26-14 win over a Graceland team that's not too hot. And the game that I think a lot of eyes were on, Mid-America Baker. And because the Pioneers, all right, they've got my attention out. I'm beginning to grow a little concerned. How good are they? They were at home for their homecoming, winning it 20-14 over Baker. So, but again, I don't think Baker's as good as they've been. So I'm just not sure in my mind. One minute I think, well, they're just beating teams that aren't particularly good. And the next minute I look at them and I go, yeah, but you know what? Doggone it, they just keep winning.
Yeah, so there were two games that kind of jumped out at me. I looked at Graceland and I said, how'd you only score 14 points against Culver Stockton? And then you start diving a little deeper. Caleb Ross, remember we listened to that game coming back when they were playing Baker. He gets hurt late in the game. He did not play against Culver Stockton. I think if he plays against Culver Stockton, that's just a different team. They probably beat Culver Stockton. But yeah, I think that Mid-America has to scare you. They're a team that early on in the season was putting up a lot of points. They take care of the football. That had to be an electric atmosphere because they played that game on campus. That's something they just don't do. They don't have a stadium. They don't have the capabilities of doing it, but they were able to pull it off. Baker, man, they've really fallen lately, right?
Yeah, and you look at the North or the South right now, Mid-America, but by virtue of having an extra game squeaked in, they are 2-0. They play during everybody else's bye week, so they'll have an open date coming up. Mid-America's 2-0. Benedict and Evangel are 1-0. Baker and Valley are 0-1, and Central Methodist, of course, is 0-2 and 0-8 on the season. But Mid-America, they've got an argument. We're 2-0. We're in top spot all alone, not tied for top spot all alone in the South. We are 6-2. Pretty good record. That's a Mid-America team that could, you know, they're not getting any national attention, but they have a record that's postseason worthy right now.
Yeah, so if Mid-America were to win out, they're in.
Oh, for sure that.
They're good. Evangel is kind of on that cusp with only two losses. Baker, you can win out. You're not making the playoffs with four losses. I'm sorry, you're just not going to do it. Missouri Valley could win out. They're not making the playoffs. Central Methodist, we're not even going to entertain that. You go to the North Division.
It's miserable.
It's over, right? I mean, Grandview is going to make the playoffs. Nobody else is going to make the playoffs. Culver Stockton, Peru State, Clark, William Penn, Graceland, this is just not the year for any of those teams.
No, they're all 3-4, or 2-4, or 2-5. You know, there's not a 500 team in the North other than Grandview.
Yeah, so now you start to look at the games going on around the conference this weekend, and Graceland will have the noon game at Grandview. That thing's already getting ugly, and it hasn't even started. Clark is going to make a shorter trip for them, 1 o'clock at Canton. Evangel will be at Baker, 1 o'clock. William Penn will be at Peru State for 1 o'clock. And then we're going to have homecoming in Marshall, Missouri, as Benedictine will be at Missouri Valley on Saturday afternoon. Again, a 2 o'clock start there.
That all said, Ravens continue to play some really good football. It's kind of fun to watch them last road game and before they come back for homecoming in a week. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have a nice conversation as we've been visiting with and introducing you, the listeners, to some of the Raven football staff. And this week, we've got Brian Barraza. Brian's going to be joining us. He'll be back. We'll be back. More Sports Talk right after this. We got Brian Barraza with us, one of the assistant coaches for the Benedictine Football Ravens. Coach, good to talk to you today, man. How's it going?
Going really well. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. I'm excellent. And we're talking to you coaches and kind of learning a little bit about you. First of all, I think the best place to start is with the Brian Barraza biography. Tell me kind of where you're from and a little bit about the background and home.
Sounds good. Well, I'm from San Diego, California. I grew up out there. I was coached by Coach Aaron Hauser, our wide receivers coach, at Michigan High School in his pops. That's kind of where I started coaching ball. I started coaching there when I was 19, 20 years old. I coached there for 2 years, and then when Coach Aaron Hauser made his way out here, replacing Coach Murphy, it kind of brought me along. So I've been here now for 3 years, and lucky to have my brother here on staff, too. So it's been really great, but it's been a short coaching career, but looking forward to continue going pretty well.
tell me about your football career. So you say Coach Hauser coached you in school. Tell me about your high school and maybe college.
Yeah, so I was actually unfortunate to never be able to play college ball. I had a PWO to Stanford University. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take it. Right, so my football career actually ended right after high school. Right, so I got into coaching right after I graduated back in 2018. So I've been doing it for the past 5 years, and yeah, I never really had a college career. You know, I was living through the guys right now and how they're able to actually, you know, able to produce and able to play ball.
So, who is your football inspiration? I mean, so when you were a high school player, who was the guy that you looked up to and said, "Man, this guy's great. I'm going to be him."
There's a lot of them. Well, I think most inspiration comes from, D-line wise, has to be a guy like Wedgie White. You know, those type of guys, along with, you know, a guy like Ed Reed, you know, a captain of the defense. You know, I always looked up to those type of guys, you know, guys that, you know, not only represented themselves, but represented their team, more importantly, like their defense, like the face of a team, face of a defense.
So you played in and lived in San Diego. Is it as gorgeous? I've never been there. Everybody says, beautiful place, best weather in the planet. Is that right?
It is right. 99% of the world is not Southern California, Tom, and more importantly, I mean, not 99% of the world is not San Diego. I mean, it is beautiful. You know, I grew up in North County, San Diego, which is a little bit more chiller than, I guess, downtown or even Los Angeles is. But, yeah, you know, I mean, fish, surf, I mean, that's what it is in San Diego, hiking. But, yeah, it's beautiful year-round, 70s.
So what do you do with your spare time, whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Atchison? I mean, football lasts like 11 and a half months of the year, but you get a few days. What do you like to do with your spare time?
I just like being outside, going on walks, going on hikes. You know, usually I just walk, rock climbing when I'm back home in San Diego. You know, out on the beach, surfing, you know, just being outside. That's where I found enjoyment more than anything.
Wait a minute, San Diego has rocks and hills? I thought that was flat out there. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, you get a little bit of everything. You got the mountains down in San Diego. You got a desert down in San Diego. You know, you got wildlife, you know, as far as the woods goes. And then, of course, you got the beach. You got all type of terrain out there.
Can you surf?
Packed. Yes, sir. I can get up on a board.
You're the man. I love it. We've got Brian Barraza with us, coach for the Benedictine Ravens. Coach, I know you're doing football, and it's been a life's career for you to this point, but you're a young guy. What if you weren't doing football? Did you ever think, you know, if this was not what I was doing, what else would you be doing?
Oh, I'd definitely be in education, you know.
Is that what your degree is in? What is your degree?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so actually I'm still getting my degree right now. I'm in my undergrad. Still wrapping it up right now, but it's going to be in secondary education and exercise science. So, I mean, end all be all, I want to continue coaching college ball for as long as possible. But I know my vocation is to one day have my own high school program. You know, and if I wasn't coaching, I'd just looking to help kids, you know, benefit, you know, and chase their dreams more than anything. I think that's why a lot of teachers get into education, just to be able to help others more than anything.
Well, working toward that end, you are on coaching on the D-line. Make sure I'm right here.
Yes, sir. I coach the D-tackles.
Okay. And so tell me about, I mean, it seems so specialized. Is it a specialized, I mean, is the D-tackle doing a lot of things different than like the D-end or a nose tackle? I mean, talk to me about how that works.
Yeah. So, I mean, with regards to D-tackles and edges, I mean, just – I mean, similar techniques, you know, I mean, O-line and D-line is the most technical positions in all of football, you know, so especially when it comes down to D-tackle and on double team, you know, holding blocks, you know, as a single guy, a single gap. So there's a lot of technique that's involved that is very specialized for those two spots. You know, but what's the difference between D-tackle and edges? Typically just comes down to length as far as the exterior guys, but also speed. You know, you want to have your longer speed guys, you know, be able to play the edge. You know, me, you know, I have a little bit of range. You know, my guys kind of vary, but, you know, we have some short guys, but also a little bit slower, right, so that they can be able to handle those double teams, play through the gaps.
So you could probably work a little bit hand-in-hand with Coach Pops up there on the O-line because, you know, that there's some symbiotic relationship here.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's what I tell my guys all the time. You know, everything that we're trying to do against an offensive lineman is they're trying to do the same thing to us. So, I mean, Coach Pops, he's been a great mentor as far as where he's been able to teach me O-line-wise. But also Coach Stamos, when he was here, Coach Nickus at the time, all those guys have all had a huge inspiration from me. You know, just because they've been around the game for a long time. You know, just being young. I mean, I'm only 23 years old. You know, so just being able to hear their insights and, you know, what they have to share.
So, being from San Diego, do you get to go home very much? I mean, do you make that trip back and forth? And if so, is it like a driving trip, or how do you make that commute?
So, when I go back home to San Diego, I drive, and it is 3-4 hours, and I like to do a straight shot. You know, I have a 3-hour break in Denver, really, and then from there, just keep going home. You know, I'll stop to get gas and take my time, but it's usually 24 hours, and I do it by driving. And I don't usually get to go home too often. You know, usually it's in December. That's when me and Coach Hauser, when we go out there to recruit Southern California. Right? But December is a good time, and then, you know, I like to go back at least 1 or 2 weeks in the summer just so I can go enjoy my beach, you know, because that's my home.
Okay, so you're in the Barraza Truckster, and you're headed out across the plains and through the mountains. What if I'm sitting in the car with you? What's on the radio? I mean, what is you got the go-to podcast? You got you know, what jams are you listening to? What's on the radio in your car?
Oh, it's always gonna be reggae music, Tom. Reggae, you know, old school, the classic country. You know, that's what my dad. He grew up in El Paso, right? So I mean, you got guys like, you know, Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash, you know, that's who I am, you know, but it has to be something light. You know, I'm all about reggae music.
Wow, that's fantastic, but no podcast. You're not listening to the true crimes or the, you know, the how this works or something like that?
No, that's not really me. You know, I like music. Music's life.
Awesome. Okay. Brian Barraza, is there a hidden skill, hidden talent? You know, I was talking to Coach Hauser. Who knew he was a snowboarder? Do you have something you do, play a musical instrument, you know, do a folk dance? I mean, what do you have?
Oh, man, I definitely can't sing. That's what you're asking. I can surf. That's about it. I don't have any. I mean, I can snowboard here a little bit. You know, but I was never like a professional like Hauser was. But, I don't really have too many special talents, you know.
Okay.
Just, I got what I have.
Now, a handful of just kind of off-the-cuff questions just to get your thoughts on things. Best sandwich, okay? You're going home. You pull into the deli. Give me the go-to.
Okay. Well, the best sandwich in the world is a spot called Board and Brew. And it's a local chain out there in San Diego. And when I'm out at Board and Brew, I get the California Delight. Right? So it's wheat bread on turkey with sprouts, cream cheese, and their secret sauce. Simple sandwich, the best I've ever had. So that's all I get.
Sounds fantastic. What are you washing it down with, tea?
Oh, yeah. Iced tea, water, oh, maybe a beer.
There you go. All right, so if you had one song that was like on repeat that you had to listen to from now on, you can have one song and that's all you're going to listen to. Name it.
Bob Marley, Could You Be Loved?
Outstanding. I love this. All right. How about this? Pick one. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. Where you at?
Superman. Easy.
I like that.
I mean, who would you choose?
Oh, no. For me, I don't know, probably Batman, you know. But we're both in that DC Classics, so, you know, we're staying away from the Marvel guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be Christmas before you know it. And as a youngster at home, best gift you ever got?
Wow. I mean, best gift I ever got had to be sports-related, you know, whether it was a new bat, new bike. You know, I grew up with three other brothers, right? I mean, I have a twin, but I also have an older brother. So sources are huge, right? So whenever we got sources, we can see the huge revenues. His backs, new balls. I mean, that's what made Christmas is so awesome growing up.
Okay, so you are here with Brother Adam, right?
One more time, Tom.
You're here with your brother Adam, right?
Yes, sir. He's my twin brother.
Twin brother. So, I mean, are you guys kind of like inseparable? And I guess I should also ask, are you identical?
We are not identical. No way. He is my hippie brother with long hair, beautiful big beard, and I'm all nice and clean. That's why I'm the dad's favorite.
Your parents love you the best, right?
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. You got a nickname? What is it?
Oh, I have a couple. One was B-Roz, right? So they call me B-Roz. He's A-Roz. No, that's one of them.
And we're going to just swing back here toward the end, back toward this Benedictine team. You know what? I know you've got like the best job on the planet coaching football, and it's probably fun, rewarding, and challenging, and all of those things. But this bunch you've got out here this year, how fantastic are they? I mean, how much fun must this be?
Yeah, it's been a blast, you know, especially within my D-line group. You know, I'm lucky to have two captains that are part of that group, with Joe Glazier and Isaac Anderson. You know, as far as like the whole team in general, I mean, we have guys that just want to win, do anything in their power to be able to do so, and just be able to represent Benedictine College, Benedictine Athletics, and more importantly, this Benedictine football team. So, you know, it's been pretty great. You know, I'm excited for the second half of the year. You know, got a tough one this week against CMU, and just looking forward to, you know, just keep riding out for as long as possible. You know, we're not going to be satisfied until, we reach where we want to reach. You know, and that's championships, you know, conference championship, and hopefully national championship with a good player up front.
And again, you've got such great guys. We've already talked about Coach Pop's incredible mentor who's been around the game since when Coach Pop started, they played, it was a rock. They didn't even have like inflatable footballs yet. You know, it was like a big piece of granite. I bet you probably didn't even know that.
I did.
Yeah, that's how old guys like he and I are. But with Coach Pops and, you know, also with Coach Osborne, great mentor guys. I mean, how good is it to have people like that to be in leading you and to be able to emulate?
Well, it's fantastic. You know, and it always starts back with Coach Wilcox. Just his opportunity first. Learning from him, learning from those old school guys that have been here on staff, you know. Hell, at the time, Pops was a young guy on staff. Now he's a mentor and the old school guy for us all, you know. So, especially with the transition of Joel and where he came from, you know, it's been great. You know, I have a lot of guys in my corner and a lot of guys I can reach to in at least my back pocket, you know, for guidance, advice.
And so you're very technological, because back when Coach Wilcox started, I mean, you know, you developed the film overnight in Kansas City and ran it back and literally threw it projectors and had it up on the wall. But the technology of the day is crazy. Are you a tech guy?
I'm not a big tech guy. I'm not. Actually, this is my first iPhone I got, you know, I had about a BlackBerry for about 5 years, so. I'm definitely behind the technology compared to a lot of my counterparts who are my age, but I get it. Technology is useful, that's for sure, and it definitely makes things easier. You know, I'm definitely fortunate for my new iPhone.
You're still figuring out the features, man.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm old, man, when it comes down to technology. And honestly, I don't really want to really figure out how to use it all. Why? So they don't make me, you know, catch up on it. Or, you know, continue doing more work with technology that I don't even understand.
You can ask your buddies when we're done with this conversation. They'll teach you how to block my number so that you can, you know, you don't have to hear from me again.
I won't be doing that anytime soon.
Hey, Brad Ross, it's been really good talking to you, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of the busy schedule. And, yeah, you're doing a great job. And we love watching you and your athletes out on the field every Saturday. They do a great job.
We always appreciate you and all of the work that you've done for us, you know, and always your support. Appreciate you giving me a little bit of time just to be able to talk about you. and, you know, share a little bit about me. So it's been great.
You got it. Brian Braza, go Ravens! Welcome back to Sports Look here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Gus, Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what to say about them other than they played a really good opponent, arguably the best team in the NFL, battled to the end, but I thought some crucial mistakes down the stretch cost the Chiefs their second loss of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there were a handful of plays and things that you could go back to, you know. Some people didn't like the pass interference called against Travis Kelce. You could look at the screen pass out in the flat to your fullback, Burton, that you just couldn't get it to him. I mean, there were a handful of plays. The pass into the end zone, the missed field goal. I mean, you can't do those things against good teams. And for Kansas City, I think that if they look back, they're going to say, well, too many opportunities missed. But, again, did you walk away from that game and be like, wow, that was a bad game? I mean, like, I thought they played good. It was two real good teams. Somebody just had to lose.
Yeah, and that was going to happen. I thought maybe the home field was going to help them. But yet, the prognosticators said, you know, it's going to be a three-point game, and they were pretty close, 24-20.
I don't know if you happened to see it the other day. Maybe Monday it was. Nick Wright, the national guy, he's a Kansas City guy originally. But, you know, he had a thing where he was reading, talking about, you know, the Bills beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Josh Allen jumped over a Kansas City Chief. It was just a great game for the Bills. And he said, wait, those are all the things that happened last year, and then Kansas City beats the Bills in the playoffs. So, again, regular season games don't really matter, but now I think that, you know, you're looking at an uphill slide if you want to get into the playoffs and have home field advantage throughout.
Well, Kansas City's going to have a chance to bounce back as they're going to be in California this Sunday. It'll be the Chiefs at the 49ers. That's another Super Bowl rematch.
Yeah, they're going to do the rematch from a couple of years ago, but I'm telling you, I think that, you know, if you were in the Bay Area and you see, like, a light post with a tryout form stapled to it, I'm telling you, the 49ers may be the most beat-up team I've ever seen, right? They had, like, 20-some guys listed on the injury report. It is not looking good for them. What, of their 11 day one starters on defense, 10 of them probably won't play this week. Your starting quarterback, Trey Lance, is not going to play because he had that dislocated ankle a few weeks ago. So it's Garoppolo, who is, don't get me wrong, a really good backup. But still, for Kansas City, this should be a nice bounce back game.
Yeah, it's a 3:25 in the afternoon ball game. And now we got to digress just a little bit. We're talking about the Chiefs. Yesterday, the announcement came out that Travis Kelce's contract was renegotiated, and that freed up a bunch of cap money. Now, the only reason that you renegotiate somebody who's got a big contract and you renegotiate that and get him to agree to that. And I listened into a Travis Kelce interview later. And I love listening to Travis Kelce because he's like pretty candid kind of a guy.
The podcast with Travis and his brother are just...
Is that right?
Oh,
I haven't ever heard
dynamite.
That. But, so the only reason that you do that and free up his money is because you're going to do something with the money. Otherwise, there's no reason to do that. That means the Chiefs are looking to add someone. And, of course, the point-blank questions were, Travis, who are they getting? Who are they getting? Are they getting Odell? Who are they getting? And he's like, I don't know. My agent just called me up and said, you want to do that? I'm like, sure, I'll do that.
Hey, he said, wait a second. You're going to tell me that they owe me X amount of dollars and I can have it today versus next week. And, yeah, I'll do that.
Sure, why not?
For Kansas City? Sure, they're going to do something. I don't know that it's going to be Odell. I sure think they're going to try for Beckham. But then the problem...
Where's he at today? What's he doing?
Just rehabbing after that knee injury in the Super Bowl last year. So, I mean...
He's sitting around a pool somewhere.
Yeah. But, you know, the problem is... Okay, let's crystal globe this thing that the Chiefs were to sign Odell. Who loses snaps, right? Like... Do you take Marquez Valdes-Scantling off the field? Do you take Juju off the field? Do you take McCole off the field? Do you take your rookie, Sky Moore, who I think is playing better every week and starting to maybe grow into something? I mean, like at some point, it's nice. You got all these tools, but somebody's got to come off the field, right?
Yes.
And
unfortunately, I think that all of those guys are potential candidates, because I think that, with the exception of Sky, I think none of them have done what the Chiefs felt like, and maybe certainly what I felt like they were going to do this year. And particularly, and you and I have discussed this, I've really had huge, huge hopes for Mecole Hardman, because I thought, you know, he's the fast guy, and he was going to replace 10, and he was going to be just fine, and he's just never become that guy for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, and I just don't know what it is. It's that whole, like, you're looking for him to step up, looking for him to step up, and he just hasn't. So, you know, and I think he's capable of it. I just don't know why he's not stepping into that. So for Kansas City, I think maybe that's some of the reason you're looking for somebody else. The other advantage is, I think, what, MBS is the only guy who has a contract into next year in the wide receiver room. Okay, other than Sky Moore, of course. But MBS, you can get out of that Scantling deal with no money. Like, it's actually a 1 year, $8 million, or 2 years, $10 million. So, I mean, like, all your money's in the front end. So, if you get out of it, there's not really any dead cap on it. So, again, I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City doesn't try to push for something like that. I think the less intriguing part of that whole thing is that they go out and get some kind of a defensive back or a defensive lineman, I think, is probably more of a safe move for him.
Yeah, and the trouble is, if you go back, you know, for a handful of years, and you look at the guys the Chiefs have picked up in this kind of a situation, none of them have been worth a hoot.
Yeah, nothing great, right?
No, I mean, no, they're names that are very forgettable.
Yeah.
Okay? There's nobody who jumps out and says, man, his addition won us the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
None of that.
You start looking back, I mean, you're just not impressed by the names that they have brought in at this time of the year. So
it'll be interesting to see what they do, but there is cap money out there now, and you know, by the time we talk on Sports Look next week, there will be a new man on the 53.
Well, and the other advantage is you have an owner that, you know, he's got $3.5 million in his pocket. He says, let's spend it. You know, I mean, and for Kansas City fans, you don't understand how great that is, because you look around the NFL, there are a lot of these owners that said, oh, I got $3.5 million. Let's go ahead and tuck that away and hold on to it. So,
other games tonight, you can watch, of course, the prime game. It's not really a prime game.
This has got to be better, though, than some of the games like we've been. Like, it's better than any Broncos game that they've been trying to shove down our throat lately.
Saints and Cardinals, both teams are 2-4. So if there's something to be said for comparing schedules, they should be relatively evenly matched. It's going to be out in the desert.
Yeah, and for the Cardinals, they're going to get back DeAndre Hopkins. Now, they did lose Hollywood Brown the other day, but they're going to get DeAndre back. I think it should be a huge game for him. For the Saints, they're going to go in there with, I think, maybe that's who called you earlier, was, you know, the Saints trying to get you down to the desert to play wide receiver tonight, because, again, they're going to go in there all banged up. I really expect that Alvin Kamara is going to be a big part of that game. Yeah, over under 48.5. I feel like all we see anymore in NFL games are field goals.
And then you've got Sunday, noon game. You've got Colts and Titans, a couple of teams battling, you know, 3-2-1 and a 3-2 team.
Yeah, and both of them in that same division. That will go a long ways to decide who wins the AFC South.
And you're worried about the Packers-Commanders game, too, because I know you're a huge Commanders guy.
Oh, yeah.
Love the uniform, all the things about that. Now, Steelers are going to be at the Dolphins, and Tua says he's playing.
Yeah, Tua talked a little bit about his concussion and said that, you know, after he got hit that second time, he did. He blacked out. He didn't remember a whole lot about it.
We hope that he's well.
He just worries you anytime that player. I know that it's been a few weeks, but anytime he gets back out there, and I'm still under the assumption in my own mind that he probably did have back-to-back concussions. And so, yeah, that's a scary situation with Tua quarterbacking Sunday night against the Steelers. And can I tell you, the NFL is probably holding its breath a little bit.
Cause
the last time that Tua was on national TV game, national televised game, he went down like that. Now everybody's going to watch this game Sunday night to make sure that all is on the up and up.
And by the way, you talk about guys who are recovering and looking to be playing again. You're going to have Dak Prescott back in uniform this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, in the Monday night game, does anybody really care about Bears at the Patriots? I mean, it's so bad that the over-under is 39.5.
Yeah.
New England is a 7-point favorite, and I'm going to tell you, I like that they're playing their rookie quarterback, Bailey Zappe. You know, what was he, like Eastern Kentucky quarterback, you know, so why not?
College football this week, we're going to find Kansas traveling down to Baylor. Is the Jayhawks looking to bounce back, but it's going to be a tough place to do that. Hard to play ball down at Waco. Saturday, 11 a.m. ball game, Kansas at Baylor. K-State back in action. Number 17, Kansas State at number 8, TCU. We'll see what those two teams are made of. This will be a really good matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be the 7 p.m. game. TCU, a 3.5-point favorite in that game. There's going to be a whole lot of purple in that building.
We can't be quite back. We'll be back before halftime. From that one. Texas at Oklahoma State. How did Texas get to number 20?
Yeah, by luck. Give it this week, and then they'll be right back out at the top 25 because Oklahoma State looking to bounce back after a loss to TCU. That's the 2:30 game. Texas, though, is a 6.5-point favorite. I'm not buying it.
Oregon is going to be at home with UCLA in a battle of number 9 and number 10 in the pack.
Nobody cares.
Right,
Oregon is 6-point favorite.
But people are going to care about the Saturday night game, and they're going to see how Bama comes back. Number 6, they're hardly ever that low. Number 6, Alabama. And they're at home with number 24, Mississippi State. Mississippi State is no joke.
Yeah, Mississippi State, the number 24 team, they're playing pretty good football right now. But you got to think that Alabama looking to take out a little of that Tennessee loss frustration on somebody, and I feel like they're going to do it. Can you believe Bama, a 21-point favorite?
That's a lot. That's an awful lot. Talk about a lot. We got a lot of ball games coming up here on K Radio tomorrow night. We're going to be in Winchester, Kansas. It'll be Mission Valley. Guys, when was the last time you were at Mission Valley?
I've not been to Eskridge, but we have seen Mission Valley, right? They played Moorhill Mount Academy a few years ago.
They did. 7 o'clock ball game tomorrow night here on K with JCN Saturday afternoon. And remember, a 2 o'clock kickoff at a 1:30 pregame on K-Radio Benedictine at Missouri Valley. Many thanks to our Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience. Till we reach you next time. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.